Well, I too would greet you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to say that I am pleased to get to stand here before you. And thanks, Uncle Leslie, for giving me the opportunity. I was looking forward to hearing from you. I have a couple messages, and I believe they go together. So I pray that God will help me and the Holy Spirit will bear the message into your hearts. I'm going to start by reading out of James, the first chapter. I think I moved my bookmark. I've been traveling for a little over a month, and I, in my efforts to consolidate what I carry, I brought my little miniature books, and they're just a little harder for me to use. They don't habitually open for me. Okay, first chapter of James. I want to first read the last verse of this chapter because it really is the core of my sermon. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I think that we have a lot of distraction, a lot of things that keep us busy. But even within our, call it our religious life, there's a lot of distraction, lots of distraction. And that's one reason that I've kind of got a dual topic tonight. I want to address a little bit one of the things that I think that can be a distraction for us. There's so many things to discuss and so little time, you know. And I think any religion you want to talk about has their own little corner of beliefs that they really harp on and where they feel like they have more insight than anyone else. And I think within what I would call, I guess, the restoration, we have a multitude of those subjects. Many times we spend a lot of time talking about eternal judgment and have very different opinions, and we might argue over them. I feel like there is an answer for that. And so I want to address that a little bit tonight, too. I kind of had this picture in my mind, and maybe to go there, I'm going to first read out of, let me read out of Matthew 25, just to emphasize the point. Matthew 25, Matthew 25, and I'll start with the 31st verse. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then said the righteous, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, and or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And I kind of have this picture in my mind, you know, being the second guy back in line at the judgment and hearing the judge talk to the one in front of me and say, you know, I was hungry and you fed me, and I'm going, uh-oh. Sometimes I, compared to these things, what did it matter that I felt like I won that argument? I think of the incredible time that we spend sometimes discussing. And discussing things that, if you really study it out, they aren't particularly clear. And there are many things you could surmise on about. And so people kind of end off in different corners of the subject, and they just defend it. And they defend it vehemently. There was something that happened, you know, when Christ came to this continent. And so I'm going to read that, and I think it's important. It's in 3 Nephi. The 9th chapter. Somebody was asking me about my little Book of Mormon this morning, and I was telling them where to get it, and he said, that's really small. And I said, yeah, in a high wind, you could get it in your eye. Hey, third Nephi, 9th chapter. And I'm zeroing in on here, the 48th verse. Let me back up. How appropriate. We just took of the sacrament this morning, and that's just what happened here. So let me start with verse 45. Ninth chapter of 3 Nephi, verse 45. Now when the multitude had all eaten and drunk, behold, they were filled with the Spirit, and they did cry out with one voice, and gave glory to Jesus, whom they both saw and heard. And it came to pass that when they had all given glory unto Jesus, he said unto them, Behold, now I finish the commandments which the Father hath commanded me concerning this people, who are a remnant of the house of Israel. And ye remember that I spake unto them, and said that when the words of Isaiah should be fulfilled, behold, they are written, ye have them before you, therefore search them. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that when they shall be fulfilled, then is the fulfilling of the covenant which the Father hath made unto his people. I'm reading, I transpose here. I'm going to back up. I'll start with verse 6, same chapter, chapter 9, 3rd Nephi. And behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did teach the multitude, and behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, and they did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. When they ministered unto the people, they ministered the exact same words that he had spoken, nothing varying from those words he had spoken. And I think of the state of the heart that we're supposed to have. There are particular chapters that zero in on those things even more. I think of the Beatitudes, both here in 3 Nephi and in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew, how he tells us to be. And I think there's a thing that makes a difference. And it's a word we don't like, but it has to do with pride. I think to stick to exactly what those words are, and to not assume you understand more, requires humility. Requires humility. Let me go a little farther. I'm going to turn over to John, St. John, and chapter 12. It's hard to know where to start. This is where I'm firing at verse 48, but I want to start back with verse 44 and read through the end of the chapter, the 12th chapter of St. John. Starting with verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whoso believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. It was not different with Christ. He did not come to speak his own words. He came to speak the very words of his Father. And I think again of this eternal judgment that we will all come to. And I think of those who hear our teachings and our words. But it's exactly his words that will judge us. Have we stuck exactly to the words he gave us? It's in the second chapter of Messiah. I think it gives us more because I think sometimes we feel this terrific responsibility that if somebody asks us a question that we have to know, we have to prove and know. We have to be able to answer that question. It's part of the reason I've gone here to read. Second chapter of Messiah. I think I'm going to start with verse 13. And I'm going to read through to 40. Believe in God. Believe that he is and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if ye believe all these things, see that ye do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted his love and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye would remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and of your own nothingness and his goodness and longsuffering towards you, unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even to the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which is spoken by the mouth of the angel. And before I go on, because this reading is going to actually combine both of the things I'm talking about. There are times people ask questions, and it's about things that he did not clarify in his word. Could he answer it? That's not the point. It says we believe, we do not comprehend all things that God can comprehend. Believe that. You know, it may feel too humbling, but it's okay to say, I don't know. 1980, I was out riding a motorcycle around the West, and I passed through Grand Junction. And while I was there, I stopped to just sit down and visit with Marvin Ely. And I, you know, we talked about all kinds of things, but I was a little surprised. Give it a couple weeks later, I got this great big letter from Marvin. Because Marvin had said on one of our subjects, he said, I don't know. I'm going to have to study about that. And he did. And he followed up with a letter to me about the things that he had found. And he said, really, thanks for asking that question. You know, be humble. Be able to say, I don't know. Let me look. Let me study. So understand, we do not comprehend all things that he does comprehend. Where was I? Ready to read verse 22, I think. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is due, which is his due. And ye will not suffer your children that they should go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by your fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And ye will not suffer that the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain, and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, this man has brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and will not give unto him of my food, nor impart of him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same hath great cause to repent. And except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he perisheth forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same, even God? The same being, even God, for all the substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind. And behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for a remission of your sins. And has he suffered that ye have begged in vain? Nay, he has poured out his spirit upon you, and hath caused that your hearts should be filled with joy, and has caused that your mouths should be stopped, that ye could not find utterance. So exceeding great was your joy. And now if God, who has created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatever ye ask that is right in faith, believing that ye shall receive. Let me try to read that a little smoother. And now if God, who has created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask that is right in faith, believing that ye shall receive. O then, how hath ye ought to impart of the substance that ye have one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perish not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation for withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. And yet ye put up no petition, nor repent of the thing which thou hast done. I say unto you, woe be unto that man, for his substance shall perish with him. And now I say these things unto those who are rich, as pertaining to the things of this world. And again I say unto the poor, ye who have not, and yet have sufficient, that ye remain from day to day, I mean all of you that deny the beggar, because ye have not. I would that ye say in your hearts that if I give because I have, that I give not because I have not, but if I had, I would give. The state of our heart is important. I think it's a curious thing, though. Because I believe it clarifies the same principle here. The Word of God is not ours. He gave it to us to pass on. And our clothes, our food, our wealth, everything else is not ours. He gave it to us to pass on for the welfare of the souls of the people. Well, I read what I wanted to there. One of the scriptures that I didn't actually go to, at the same time I was reading the Messiah, I thought of Isaiah 55. Because, you know, that this understanding that Messiah, that's written here in Messiah, that we don't comprehend all the things that God comprehends. I think it even says it a little more drastic in Isaiah 55, where it says, you know, that our thoughts are not his thoughts. And our ways are not his ways. And we need to accept that and believe it and cling for everything to him. Let me go to Philippians. And in Philippians, I want to read out of the second chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 2. I think I'll probably read to about verse 15. It says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion after a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that it may that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. At the base of what I'm trying to teach tonight is a whole reliance on God. I want you to learn that he is our source for all. Whatever the topic is you want to discuss, I think to study, to show yourself approved, and is not to try to win an argument or try to be superior than somebody to somebody else. It's to kneel in prayer and go to him in humility. Ask his guidance and study this word till it is engrafted on the fleshy tables of your heart. So that even if you don't have your books with you, when somebody has a critical question, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in reliance to him, we'll be able to be light. We'll be able to be light, which is of him. God bless us all. There's many more scriptures I could read, but I think that all I'm here to do is to give the message he wants me to give. So my prayer is for you, and the last things I'd like to say really is pure religion and undefiled. This is to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction, and to remain unspotted from the world.